Yes, that lion form
on the right, babe. Ha!
Not that Maggie's
back in town.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the fan, WFAN.
Yes! Say yes, sir! 102. McMonagle here with you on the fan, an hour earlier than usual, and good. Good. I'm glad to be on an hour earlier, breaking down that weekend and the week to follow. What a time to be here in New York sports. What a time. Come join me, 877-337-6666. Me and Fleagleman got you until the warm-up show at 4 a.m. 5 a.m. No, that's right, 5 a.m. I start an hour earlier, but I go the same amount of time. Yes! I'm so excited I can barely read a clock. As we get it going this weekend, little playoffs. Yankees and Mets continue to win. But let's start there with the two teams at the Garden. These two teams we've been talking about for a while now. These two teams, first time in since 1994, they've each won 50 games. Heading into the playoffs, the overall number one seed for the New York Rangers and the number two seed for the New York Knicks, who played Saturday. And we'll start there. We'll get to the Rangers two in the open as we're going to break down this whole weekend. And yes, two teams that won games, in my mind, in very similar fashion. And, for me, tell the story of how the rest of the series should go as well. And both teams did it kind of with their role players, with their bench. And that's certainly what the Knicks did on Saturdays. They took down Philadelphia 111-104 in a game that, to me, signifies why the New York Knicks are going to win this series. Everything about this game went, for me, in the advantage of Philadelphia. And the Knicks still win this game. For me, when you head into the series, we talked about it, right? Yeah, we talked about the depth of the team, no doubt. But we also looked at what Philadelphia was dealing with, their superstar Embiid and Brunson. Brunson's the better player, and Brunson's going to have to score. There's no secondary scorer without Randle. And you have to, you know, DiVincenzo's going to have to be hot, hit a bunch of threes. They're going to have to get some secondary scoring from somewhere. And ultimately, in this game, if you look at what happened on Saturday, Brunson played arguably his worst game of the year. Let's just be fair. From the jump, you could tell he was off. He was hitting shots he normally hits. He was allowing them to, you know, for an undersized guy, we talk about how undersized he is and who cares. But he's getting blocked from behind. Multiple times getting a shot blocked or affected from behind, especially. He looked awful in this game, was off from the beginning. DiVincenzo was even worse, played limited minutes in this game. And then when you look at the other side, the Knicks had extreme trouble controlling Maxey, who goes for 33 points and gets to the basket almost at will, especially in the second half. And Embiid, I think, looked as good as you're going to see him in the series. Obviously, he retweaks the knee at the end of the first half when he has that unbelievable play to throw it off the backboard and dunk. His first dunk since coming back. He only had, I think they said he only had 9 or 10 dunks the entire season. But obviously, his first one since coming back, trying to keep that knee healthy. But if you look at how good he was, I thought they get out to that early lead against the Knicks. In a building and a game and a scenario where I expected the Knicks to come out on fire. And instead, it was Philadelphia who came out, Brunson missing shots, DiVincenzo missing shots, and Embiid looking light years better than he did in the play-in game against Miami. Light years better. He was moving better. He was more physical. He was getting to the basket, getting to the foul line. He looked far superior. And for me, looking forward at the rest of this series, if you are going to play a game where Brunson is terrible, if you're going to play a game where DiVincenzo can't hit shots, if you're going to play a game where Maxey can't be stopped for Philadelphia, and you're going to play a game now moving forward with Embiid, who, let's be honest, there's no reason to think that that's not the best performance you're going to get out of Embiid this whole series. Is he capable of getting through an entire seven-game series, a hard-fought 5-6-7-game series? Is he capable of doing that? Is he capable of playing the physical nature and letting himself go and really testing it the way he did in game one when he comes up limp before the half ends? That first half of Embiid might be the best performance you get of him the entire series. And still, the Knicks and their bench and guys who really, Bogdanovich hits a ton of big shots. Bogdanovich was someone I was concerned about heading into this series. Someone who, since the trade, started to come around a little bit in the last few weeks, but has really been bad. Burks, forget about it, is even on the team. But that trade did not do anything for this team the way the OG and Anunoby trade did. But obviously, the two elements of this game, the two big features of this game, are the shot-making ability of Deuce McBride, first off. A guy who we thought of as a limited offensive player and a hustle defensive player and someone who could work inside a Thibodeau rotation, but ultimately a limited scorer in the NBA. And what he's transformed himself into, hitting five threes in this game and hitting big shot after big shot to the point where in the postgame, when Jalen Brunson is asked how they won the game and how they were able to finish it off in the fourth quarter, his answer was Deuce McBride, and rightfully so. And his emergence, what we've seen from him, and then what we get in the second half of this game was unbelievable. And if you're going to have nights when DiVincenzo is shooting the way he's shooting, I mean, McBride's on the floor all the important minutes of this game. With DiVincenzo on the bench. I mean, McBride was an extremely important piece of this game. And then coming off the bench as well, obviously, Mitchell Robinson, whose defense on Embiid is without question one of the two major factors in the game. And the difference of what he was able to do against Hartenstein or when OG was on him or whoever else was guarding him, he seemed to have a field day. And you could see in the game how important it was for the Knicks to score when Embiid was off the floor. Early on in this game, Embiid looked like a real problem and scared me as a Knicks fan. And watching that first half, everything I feared was coming to fruition. An off night for Brunson, where do you get the scoring from? Maxey being too quick and unstoppable at getting to the basket, and Embiid looking like a superstar and looking completely different. And yet, he tweaks the knee, yes, but Mitchell Robinson playing defense against Embiid and the way he locked him up, and it wasn't with help, and it wasn't with, you know, driving him into double teams. It was straight up man-on-man, Mitchell Robinson getting rebounds, and obviously that's another story. This team is an incredible rebounding team, and you're getting it from all over. I know the 76ers are going to try and figure out a way to get more rebounds, but I don't know how you do it when you get guys like Hart, who's the best rebounder in the NBA, 6'5 and under. I mean, they get it from all over the place. This Knicks team, that's the one element of the Knicks team that we thought would be important that did show up in this game, was the rebounding. Their ability to rebound, obviously, at the end of the game, Hart seals the deal with a rebound after that real weird puzzling time where Nurse doesn't try and foul down 5 points with plenty of time left. But their ability to rebound, the ability to get points off the bench from their role players. Mitchell Robinson's defense, McBride's shooting. I mean, this team had a performance that ultimately, I mean, if you look at the bench, listen to this. Every single starter for the Knicks was a minus, plus minus. Every single starter, when they were on the floor, the Knicks were worse than the Sixers. All five starters in this game. The bench, Bogdanovich is plus 27. Mitchell Robinson is plus 20. And Deuce McBride is a plus 37. We talked about going into series, about what this Knicks team was. And before before Brunson became the superstar, before Randall went down and Brunson went nuts and was scoring 40 points a game and scoring 60 points, we talked about the idea of the overall team and the depth of this team. They're rebounding, yes, but some of the amount of shooters they have with now we've seen what McBride has. Hart, obviously, who was off the first three quarters of the game, miraculously gets hot in the fourth and is hitting big shot after big shot. But it was going to take the entire team because you go into a series not sure if the best player in the series is on the Knicks. And for the first half of this game, he wasn't. But I don't expect that to I expect that to change. This was the for me, this was the 76ers' shot to steal a game at the Garden. I feel uber confident with the way this team, I know you can't expect McBride to shoot exactly like this. I know you don't expect Bogdanovich to get hot at that time the same way he did in this game one. But ultimately, I don't expect, if you look at this game, Embiid played as good as I think he can play. Maxey played as good as he can play. Their two best players played the best game I think they're capable of. And this Knicks star, Jalen Brunson, played his worst. And yet it's a victory for the New York Knicks. So, yeah, it might not be McBride. It might have to be DiVincenzo. It might not be Bogdanovich. It might be Achiuwa. I don't know who will be. But the overall depth of this team is better than Philadelphia. And even when Brunson doesn't play his best game, it's still good enough to beat the best I think you'll see of Embiid and the best you'll see of Maxey, who was unstoppable getting to the basket, and it still wasn't good enough. For me, there is no excuse. I mean, this Knick team is just flat out better. And that wasn't even a good performance, and they came away with a victory. I expect this series, honestly, I know we all talked about it's supposed to be a hard-fought series. I hate to overreact to things. But for me, I thought there were elements of this game that completely went against what I had hoped to see and what I expected to see and some of the main key elements we expected to see from a Knick victory. It went. We were hoping for an Embiid who was useless. We were hoping for Jalen Brunson to be the best player in the court. We were expecting DiVincenzo to be a big part of this as the secondary scorer. And yet, none of that happened. They were careless with the basketball a lot, especially in the first half, which is sometimes a portent of poor things to come for this Knick team. And yet still, when it comes down to it, they out-rebound, they out-tough, they out-hustle, and they have enough shooters to even compensate from an off night from Brunson, who I do not think will have. I understand they played him tough. I understand they have length and they have size and they were adjusting some shots and certainly, you know, especially he was getting rejected at least three or four times from behind when he was trying to get to the basket and pull up for, you know, one of his short either fadeaways or quick jump shots. He was getting a lot of the shots he wanted. Some of them were adjusted or deflected. But, I mean, he just played an awful game. It happens. He was careless with the basketball. I thought he had moments in this game where he was awful. And yet still, the Knicks pull off a victory. And the Rangers, it wasn't nearly as, still Panarin, who you expect to have a big playoff, who has not been good for them inside the history of his tenure with the New York Rangers, has been bad in the playoffs. Obviously a great season. He gets off of the goal. But let's be honest, this game early on was a slog because of the refereeing. And because of how many penalties, and there was no rhythm to that first period whatsoever. But in the second period, it's that fourth line. It's Rempe with a goal. It's Vesey with a goal. Vesey with a goal. It's that group of secondary pieces for this Ranger team that came through and helped win this game against a lousy, let's be fair. I'm sorry, this should be a quick series. A lousy Washington team that is going to try and slow it down, right? Is going to try and play this game. Is going to try and make things difficult. But here's the point. Whatever the case may be, they can't score. This Ranger team is just too good. I know defensively there are times where this Ranger team will give up, odd man rushes and they'll have turnovers and they'll be careless with the puck. And it's happened before. It's been one of their you know, telltale signs of when things are going poorly. But ultimately, they scored one goal in this game, Washington Capitals, and went off two skates. And there really wasn't much going. And this is an older, slower team. And as long as this Ranger team does not get bogged down in the nonsense, as long as this Ranger team and Rempe, who had a penalty early on in this game, I'm not sure it was a penalty. I thought they were calling it pretty tight, especially in the first period. But as long as this team plays their game, as long as this team continues to kill the penalties, and as long as they don't allow this Washington team to draw them into something stupid, they're just far too good. And it's up and down the lineup. I know most of the scoring was done in the three-minute span of the second period. Kreider gets the goal late to really seal it. But it just looked like the Caps have no answers. Ovechkin's 38 years old. They don't have a lot of scoring on the team. Goalie's making his, you know, first playoff appearances. And I know it's only one game. And I don't want to get too excited about these two teams. But let's be honest. Watching these two teams, watching game one for the Knicks, I thought they played a game that I wouldn't have been surprised if they lost. I thought things lined up for Philadelphia, and yet still they played well enough to win and got a victory in game one. And the Rangers are just flat out better. And watching both of these games and watching the role players come through and watching the fourth line score for the Rangers and watching the bench be plus 27, plus 20, and plus 37 for the Knicks, I'm sorry. I'm feeling bold. I'm feeling good. And both of these Garden teams are lined up for, in my mind, quick series. Especially the Rangers. There is no doubt in my mind. And I've been talking about it for weeks. This Ranger team has got to get through this series quick. They just have to. Too many times we've seen this Ranger team struggle and play these hard-fought series. If they can just get through this series quickly and not have to, you know, expend all the energy it takes to go through a grueling seven-game series, which there is no reason for against this team, they'll come out the other side much, much better off. But Panarin comes out, scores a goal. He wasn't great in this game, but he gets the goal. He gets that off his back. He can get into a playoff series now and hopefully continue to play the same way he played all regular season long, which is the difference between previous Panarin, which was obviously always great for the Rangers in the regular season, and the difference we saw this year was his aggressiveness. And it wasn't always about making that extra pass. It was he had career highs in shots on goal. He had career highs on shot attempts. He had career highs in goals because he was more aggressive. And even in the goal he scored, he could have tried to make one last pass. And in previous playoffs, we've seen him do that. Instead, gets a little greedy, takes a shot himself. And so the Rangers get a hard-fought victory with the bench. Not the bench, but the fourth line and the role players doing their job. You get a goal from your two stars in Chris Kreider, who now leads the Rangers in almost all playoff statistics, and Panarin, who's their best player. And you move on, and hopefully this would be a quick series. Igor obviously played well again. He gives up one goal, goes off two skates. And right now, both of these teams, 30 years later, look like two teams that hopefully can go deep into this playoffs. And for me, game one's portell the sign of quick series for both teams. 877-337-6666. We'll get to the Mets, who continue to win, take another series out in L.A., played very well, but unfortunately, the injury bug does come to bite them, but it doesn't slow them down, that's for sure. We'll get to them as they head into San Francisco to start a series there tonight. And the Yankees, who everybody seems to think everybody's down on, nobody's happy with them, and yet all they do is keep plugging away, take another series from Tampa Bay, and I'll tell you why there is nothing to worry about Aaron Judge. So we got plenty to get to. We also got the Islanders, and they had a tough loss against Carolina. They'll play later tonight as well. We got the Knicks game tonight. I know Fliegelman's going to be having two televisions on. The entire series. You poor. I know we finished the show on Friday with it. You poor bastard. For all of you Islander Knicks fans, I know it's the world of DVR. I know it's the world of multiple televisions or your phone or your tablets. So, I mean, for most of you, you're going to be able to watch both. But there is nothing worse. I mean, these are huge games. These are playoff games. This is what we wait for all year long. This is it's as exciting as this town has seen, And really, that's really the open. The open is, it's been dreck around here for a long time. I know the Rangers have been in the playoffs. I know the Islanders went to two Eastern Conference Finals. I know the Knicks have been in the playoffs, but never this kind of enthusiasm. I've never felt it. I honestly feel like we could see both the Rangers and the Knicks headed to Eastern Conference Finals.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, head in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 127. McMonagle with you. I'm feeling good. That was a good weekend. Other than the Islanders, everything went pretty well. And again, that was a hard-fought game. They're in that series. It's a tough matchup. Carolina's good. Carolina's the betting favorite to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know how that's. Are they to win it too?
To win it, not just get there.
I knew they were the favorite in the Eastern Conference. I did not know they were the favorite to win the whole thing. Jeez. So it's a tough matchup. But, right now. Especially the Knicks, we talked about the difficult matchup, right? And then after you watched the Bucks just without Giannis and Dame just go off and just run through the young Indiana Pacers who can score, but we knew it was going to be a more difficult matchup because of what we saw in the first half of that game. Maxey is an incredible player. He's extremely fast off the dribble. He's tough to guard. He scores 30 points in the game. Embiid looked night and day. Within 2 minutes of the game, I was watching the game with a couple of buddies at my friend's house. I turned to them 3 minutes into the game. I said, Embiid's a problem. You knew it right away. He looked far better than he did against Miami. And I just don't think he's going to get through a series without tweaking that knee a little bit. He might make it through without having to come off the court or, miss a game. I don't know. But I just don't know if he can be at his best for any real stretch of time. And for me, you might have gotten the best of him in that first half of this game and in game one. And I just think they played as well as they can play. Their surrounding pieces, yeah, Oubre's a good player. Batum, did a really nice job against Miami, can hit some shots. But ultimately, the Knicks have a lot more pieces to contribute. And Mitchell Robinson and the way he played defense and the way he can rim protect and the blocks he had and the rebounds he had, then he hits two key foul shots at the end of the game. He's been great. And if you go back to last year's playoffs, he dominated Cleveland. He might be a big game performer, but for me, the way Brunson played, the way the Knicks shot to start that game, whether it was Hart who missed everything up until the fourth quarter, whether it was DiVincenzo who was awful in the game, and then obviously Brunson who played as bad as Brunson's going to play. That's the floor of Jalen Brunson. And I don't think they guarded him I don't think they did anything, that limited him or something that I foresee as being a real problem for Brunson to get through the series. I think he just had a bad game. Now, if game two looks like game one for him, then maybe we have to reassess and see what they're doing to slow him down. But for me, I just think he had a bad game. And if you take all that into account, if you take DiVincenzo having a terrible game, you take Jalen Brunson having one of the worst games we've seen out of him, certainly since Randall went down. You take Maxey being practically unstoppable, especially in that third and fourth quarter. You take the idea that you probably saw the best of Embiid. I don't think you're going to see another off the backboard to himself slam dunk. I think those days are gone. I don't see how Philadelphia gets better and the Knicks get worse from game one. I just don't see it. Now, anything could happen. I'm not saying they're going to sweep, but I think they're going to be in control of the series. I don't think we'll ever get to a moment, even if they somehow stub their toe and lose game two. That wouldn't be enough for me. Depends on how it happens, I suppose, and everyone stays healthy. But for me, watching that game and that the Knicks still came out on top, I just don't think there'll ever be a point in this series that I'll really be concerned the Knicks will lose it. I don't see it. And I understand it's only game one, but watching the game, I thought everything went right for Philadelphia. Everything went wrong for the Knicks. I understand Mitchell Robinson. I understand McBride. I'm not saying nothing went right, but it just felt like the game plan is so heavily on Brunson and DiVincenzo and trying to shut down Embiid and him being not himself and trying to limit Maxey. And none of that happened. None of that happened. And if it wasn't for him tweaking his knee, and he came back and looked, still okay, not as good as he did in the first half, I just don't see it getting better for Philadelphia. I don't. That's a game one I think you can read a lot into. That there are some game ones where you just chalk it up and you say, well, let's get ready for next game, for game two, see how it goes. I think that game one you can read a lot into. That's a game I take a lot from. And for me, I think the Knicks are the better team right now. And they proved they can win a playoff game with Brunson playing terribly. I think that's a huge factor in all of this. Like, the Knicks proved it to themselves that they're superstar. They're, I understand many ways Hart's kind of the glue of the team, whatever, but, Brunson's the man. Brunson has led them here. Brunson scores 40 points a night. The offense runs through Brunson. Brunson is the New York Knicks. There's no doubt about it. And they just won a playoff game where he was awful, and the two stars for the other team arguably played the best they can play. To me, that says a message to Philadelphia, and it sends a message to the Knicks. Okay, Brunson's our guy, and most nights he'll do it for us, but if he doesn't, we'll figure it out. They'll play tough defense. They're going to out-rebound him by 15, 20 rebounds a game. I was listening to an interview Laurie had on the way in, and I guess the Sixers are talking about playing both centers at times to try and help with the rebound. It's not going to help. I really don't. It's not going to help. The Knicks get rebounds from everywhere. Jalen Brunson, I think, had 8 rebounds. Hart had over 10 rebounds. And Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein, and especially Mitchell Robinson, is a tremendous rebounder. This is what the Knicks do. That's how the Knicks play. You could try and do it. You could try and do whatever you want. If I'm Philadelphia, I probably just chalk up the rebounding loss and try to attack in a different department. I'm not going to try and make up ground rebounding because the Knicks are too damn good at it. I'm going to try and get more scoring. I'm going to try and continue to shut down Brunson. Deuce in this game was incredible. It's the role players coming through, winning without Jalen Brunson doing anything, really. Mitchell Robinson's defense on Embiid, and the idea that the two best players for Philadelphia played as well as I think they can play, and the superstar for the Knicks did nothing, and still, it wasn't enough for Philadelphia. I don't know where else they go from here. 877-337-6666. And we did touch on the Rangers there, obviously, as well. And just the idea that the Garden is rocking right now. Back-to-back days. Back-to-back days of winning game one of a series they're now favored to win. And I think the Knicks did go off as the favorite. They were underdog for most of the week or most of the couple days prior to the game. I think they did go off as the favorite at tip. But back-to-back days with favored teams, with high expectations, and resounding victories that I think both portell and foretell how the series is going to go. Now, who knows what happens next? I don't want to project into the next series, especially for the Knicks, because, you know, they do have Embiid and they have Maxey and they're two great players. But right now, this is as good as it gets. We should be pumped as Nick and Ranger fans, the baseball teams as well. We'll get into the baseball on tough injury for Alvarez. Sounds like 6 to 8 weeks. Right now, with the way the Mets are playing, that shouldn't mean all that much. But there is someone coming back, hopefully on Friday, that could even help bridge that gap of 2 months even more with J.D. Martinez. But right now, the Mets are on fire, even getting blown out today. No big deal. They take 2 out of 3 from L.A. Continue to be one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. And the Yankees just keep piling up victories. And yes, the offense isn't getting going. Yes, the bullpen probably has some issues. Yes, Aaron Judge has done nothing. Yes, Volpe is slumping in the leadoff spot. Yes, Rizzo's shown no power. Yes, 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 yes. They keep winning games. And their starting pitching has been brilliant. It was one hell of a weekend. And then we got the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We got a game. We got two games tonight. We got the Islanders tonight. We got the Knicks tonight. We got the Rangers on Tuesday. Yankees with a weird afternoon game. I still don't know why the Yankees are playing in the afternoon later today. Because it's Earth Day? I don't know. Happy Earth Day, everybody. But that was about as fun, as exciting as it's been. And you know what? Let me get into this, too, because there's been a lot of people killing the Knicks fans, and I'm not sure if I want to join them just yet. I'm thinking about it. I do admit, I was there in the streets after the Yankees beat the Cleveland Guardians in the playoffs 2 years ago. And I thought it was ridiculous. I remember walking outside going, what is the reaction to this is absurd. Why are they going out? We're going absolutely nuts in the street. People, you know, climbing up lampposts, screaming, we want Houston. And the Knicks fans are doing it after one win. You got to relax, Knicks fans. I know this is the fan base that's bing-bonging after one win against Boston on opening day. You can't. We got to just chill a little bit. I'm pumped. I'm excited. And this is as good as I felt about a Knicks team in forever. But we really don't need to take to the streets and chant, we want Boston, after one win against Philadelphia in a game that, honestly, Brunson didn't play well. And it wasn't, I mean, I feel good about it, and I think it says a lot, and there's a lot of indications for me to think this could be a series that might not even go six. But, I mean, this is the same fan base that is ripping down pictures of Julius Randle and stepping on it and ripping it up after the series last year. Like, we got to be less. There's a yin and a yang to this thing, and you people are yin and yanging all over the place. You're super yin, you're super yang. You got to relax. There's no reason to be on the street screaming, we want Boston after one win. Go home. Go home and watch the post-game show on DVR. I understand the excitement. I'm pumped. I'm excited about this Knicks team. I'll be honest with you. A couple weeks ago, when the Randle injury came out and we knew he was having surgery and he was gone for the year, I sulked. I figured that was it. I figured they don't have that secondary score. They're never going to be that team they were in January. It's never going to happen. Another year where this Knicks team is destined for failure. And they responded, and now they're playing great basketball. I think they're better than this 76ers team. And I think right now, when I look around the rest of the Eastern Conference, I think I'm hard-pressed to find a team that's better than them besides the Boston Celtics. And it's an exciting time. But can we get through the series? Can we get through the first two games at home? Can we get halfway through the series? Before we start, you know, taking to the streets, let's win the series first. And then even then, probably less than what we got in the streets the other night. We got a big game tonight, and it's playoff time. And this is about as exciting as it gets.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 147. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 877-337-6666. You can also hit me up on Twitter at CMACWFAN. If you missed the open, a lot of excitement about the two teams at the Garden in particular. Playoff hockey, nothing better. Playoff basketball, Knicks and Rangers both win game one. And I think they are foreshadowing for the rest of this series. You can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. Or find it on your podcast, anywhere you find podcasts. But someone did call, and now someone has hit me up on Twitter. Because I mentioned I'm not sure why the Yankees are playing in the afternoon tomorrow. Caller called and said something to Mike, and now I'm getting it on Twitter. That it's possibly, I don't know if they know for a fact, but it makes sense, that it's the first night of Passover. So that's why the Yankees will be playing a day game. Now, that's fine. I'm curious if I ever remember it. I'm trying to think if I ever remember a day game, if it's something they just started doing, if it's something been done before and we didn't either take note of it or I've just forgotten about it a year later. I just don't remember ever that being the case. It jumped out at me as a weird thing to have a Monday day game. But whatever the case may be, happy Passover to those who celebrate. And you get to watch the Yankee game, or go to the Yankee game. Against the lousy A's, this should be a nice series for the Yankees. Another series win. It should be at least 3 out of 4. And the Yankees have had some problems. And here's the first thing real quick. We'll get to your calls at 877-337-6666. Let me just say this now, real quick. Just make sure we all get it. You know Aaron Judge? Yeah, stop worrying about him. There is nothing to worry about Aaron Judge. We don't have to break down his swing. We don't have to talk about. I heard a little bit. I didn't hear the whole thing of talking Yanks. I saw just one of the clips they promoted about he's standing too far away from the plate. There's this. There's that. He's in a slump. All right? He's in a slump. It's a little prolonged for him typically. It's at the start of the season, which all slumps become a huge deal. Whenever you struggle at the start of the year, if you go back to his 22 season when he hit 62 home runs, you will find a 3-week stretch that looked just like this. It's Aaron Judge. He's the best hitter in baseball. That's not hyperbole. That's a fact. Aaron Judge, when healthy, which is a major factor, no doubt, but when healthy, Aaron Judge has been the best hitter in baseball for probably 3 years. He's going to be fine. And there's been a lot of talk about booing lately and cheering. And it goes back a while, whether it's the fans having a problem, the players not liking the way Aaron Hicks was treated, Joey Gallo being booed mercilessly, and he didn't really love that. Aaron Judge being booed in the playoffs, Giancarlo Stanton being booed in his first game in pinstripes. I'd like to talk about a lot. Dopey Mirash was booing him opening day, his first game ever when he hit two home runs and won the first game of the year in Toronto, but he still gets booed at home. Whether it's Lindor and him and how he was treated, leading to the owner clamoring for applause, and it looks like he's starting to come out of his slump a little bit, had a good series in L.A., getting a couple hits from left, hits a big home run from the left side, a couple hits from the left side. Hopefully he's starting to turn it around. But there's been a lot of talk about booing. And let me just say this, because Aaron Judge got booed the other day. And I just want to speak to any Yankee fan who might have booed Aaron Judge. To go to the ballpark and boo Aaron Judge, who is the captain, who is the best hitter in baseball, who's been an incredible player for the New York Yankees, and has single-handedly carried this miserable offense for the last two seasons. Now, last year he wasn't hurt. He was hurt too long to carry to the playoffs. If he didn't get hurt, that's exactly what he would have done. But he's carried this offense. He's been the entire offense for 2 years. If you go to the ballpark, while they have the second best record now in the American League, while they are in first place, while they are winning every single stinking series, if you want to go to the ballpark and boo Aaron Judge, you, my friend, are an idiot. That's okay. You're allowed to be an idiot. You pay your money so that you can be an idiot. I'm not telling you not to boo Aaron Judge. You can go and boo whomever you want. You've spent your money. You bought your ticket. You can applaud. You can boo whomever you like. I will never tell you different. But I will tell you, if you boo Aaron Judge for this slump while they're still winning, then you, sir, are an idiot. And anyone who booed Aaron Judge is just that, an idiot. Enjoy your idiocy. I hope you reconsider, because I don't think anybody wants to be an idiot. And now that you've been told, maybe we'll reconsider. But that's what you are, an idiot. I've said my piece on it. There is no reason to boo Aaron Judge. I don't care if he's 0 for 7 in a doubleheader. I don't care if he strikes out 5 times, makes 3 errors, and accidentally trips Juan Soto when he was walking back to the dugout. You don't boo the man who's the best hitter in baseball and has carried the team and is the captain. Sorry. Now, he's not above being booed any more than anybody else, so have at it. If Derek Jeter can be booed, if Mariano can be booed, all it tells you is idiocy is generational. And there were idiots then, and there are idiots now. So just think about it, because when you boo Aaron Judge, you're telling all the people around you that you are a moron. I would be leery of that. But hey, do you? Matt in Long Island, what's up, Matt? You're on the fan.
What's going on? Nice to meet my toe.
What's going on, buddy? How are you? You pumped for the Knicks?
Yeah, yeah. Big win. Listen, game one. That I said the other day, that's who defined the Knicks. That's the team they are. They don't quit. They're a tough team.
Yep.
Josh Hart. They play in the second half. And it's a great win. It's just
it's a great
what
win.
They needed to get what they've done. They made those adjustments. But I just want to talk about what they got to do for game two tomorrow.
Okay.
I really think they got to set
tonight,
a sitter
but
in
yeah.
half. Yeah, tonight.
Just because it'll mess me up. I need to correct it just because I'll start saying it too. I got to make sure we get it. It is now.
Yeah.
It is now tomorrow, and so they play tonight.
Yeah, yeah. They got it up better in their half-court offense. I feel like they were out of flow in the first half.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
The shots they took. I mean, Brunson, listen, he's a star. I think he's going to have a bounce-back game.
No doubt.
The play they were making, and just they had some trouble on Embiid. I mean, you clearly. I think maybe switch. I don't know. It's not on Tom Thibodeau's system, but switch to a zone. Like, I know Spoelstra did that, but he's not Tom Thibodeau, but
yeah.
Get in the rhythm. Play at your pace and what you do good. Get DiVincenzo going. It was great to see the bench gets going, like Bojan and Miles McBride. Someone else can step up, but the Knicks basketball is what they do best at when they're controlling the game and control the series, too.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with you. I think some of his shots were forced in the half-court offense in the first half, Brunson. A couple of them. He wanted to try and get into a rhythm. It never really happened for him. I think you get DiVincenzo going if no one else gets going. Like, I think once McBride started getting going and once Bogdanovich started getting going, then it was like, well, no need to force DiVincenzo to
maybe
get going.
Maybe not DiVincenzo, but I guess just like get the sparks out. Like,
yeah. No, but I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. I'm saying I think DiVincenzo is important. My point is once you had those two other guys, McBride and Bogdanovich, step up and get going, then the urgency to get DiVincenzo going lessons because I got two guys going.
Josh Hart's not going to make 4-3 in the regular.
No, Josh Hart. Listen, that was amazing.
That'd be great.
I mean, he was awful. He couldn't shoot to the point where Doris Burks said during the game that they were praising him for his defense and his rebounding, and she's like, the one element of his game, I think he should take a lesson from the guy sitting next to me talking about Redick and shooting threes, and it was like, all of a sudden, because he was awful in the game, he couldn't hit a shot, and then all of a sudden,
all of a sudden
in the fourth quarter, he starts hitting everything, so, you know, it was one of those things, but I agree with you, but ultimately, I think they did a lot of that in the second quarter, clearly leading, you know, to take the lead back in the second quarter. The third quarter, they didn't play very well, but I just, so much of it leads through Brunson that it's a hard game to really think about what they need to improve on, because Brunson was just so bad.
Yeah. Also, I think on the defense side, I feel like they let Maxey get just
anything,
the speed of him, and just like get right to the paint.
Yeah, he was getting, and Maxey's one of those. I was going to say that
he can get going.
He can get the team. He's one of those guys you hate to play against. I'm sure you love him when he's on the team, but like he didn't. Every single play he got fouled. Every time he went to the basket, he got fouled. Every time he touched the ball, it was like he was complaining on everything. He reminded me of Dustin Pedroia. He was just, I mean, he was killing him. He's getting to the basket at will. He's hitting reverse, unbelievable layups. And then plus, on top of that, he's getting fouled every 2 seconds. He's complaining about everything. But he was excellent. And his speed was a major problem. There's no doubt about it. McBride was the only one who could kind of keep up. I guess OG played him okay. There were times, you know, OG is that kind of defender. And I talked about that. We were talking about shutting down, you know, putting OG. We had callers talking about putting Anunoby strictly on Embiid, and I was like, I don't think I'd rather have the flexibility of OG to play multiple defenders at different times. And he was on Maxey for a bit. He was on Embiid for a bit. I thought he did okay with Maxey. I thought McBride probably did a little bit better because OG's strength is probably his size. I mean, he's definitely, for his size, he's quick, but he's just not as quick as McBride. I thought Deuce did a little bit of a better job, but ultimately no one did a good job. They couldn't stop him. And that's part of the reason why I'm kind of super empowered as a Knicks fan about game one. I don't expect, I mean, you don't know. You do have to try and figure out a way to stop him and be better at it, but I don't anticipate him having a better game. How does Maxey play better? Like Maxey, I guess there's a chance he plays just as well, but how could he play better? He was all over the place. And I can't see Embiid playing better either. I just can't. With that knee and his injury history, I just don't see him keeping it up over the course of a game, over the course of a series. So, like, to me, I look at their two best players, I don't think it gets better for them. And Brunson was awful. So when I look just strictly on that, right, the NBA is so star-driven. We've talked about it. The Knicks are trying to buck the trend in many ways. I know Brunson's a star, but up until Brunson becoming a star, you know, and he was always, you know, he's been a star for the last 2 years on some level, but really becoming a superstar here since Randall went down. He had to carry the team offensively. But we were always talking about the Knicks are going to buck the trend. The Knicks are a solid team. They don't have that superstar, but they're good all around. They got shooters, they got defense, they got rebounding. We talk so much about the NBA about stars. You could argue there are three stars in the series, right? Let's just, for argument's sake, there are three stars in the series: two on Philadelphia, one on the Knicks. Both of the stars of Philadelphia played as well as I think they're capable of, and the one on the Knicks was awful, and the Knicks won the game. I just don't see that trend continuing. I think if Brunson's awful again, they'll lose. Because I think it's hard for Brunson to be... If the same thing happens again, they'll probably lose. If Embiid is as good as he could possibly be, and Maxey's as good as he could possibly can be, and Jalen Brunson's awful, I can't imagine them winning again. I just don't see that set of circumstances playing out that way again. I just don't. That was their chance to win that game, and they couldn't do it. And now I don't want to say it's easy. I don't want to say the Knicks won't have a problem, but I don't think we'll ever feel like the Knicks aren't in control of the series.